Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We can come here and worship you, Lord, and we just thank you for your word and what you teach us. I pray you just anoint me, Lord, and just speak things to the Spirit, and I just pray each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we just give you thank you for your love and your goodness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll look at, start off this morning, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. And as you're looking that up, I want to thank Joe for filling in last week. And Linda and I had a great time away, and I heard he did a wonderful job. And so thank him for doing that. 1 Kings 3:3. Solomon loved the Lord. That is, isn't that an incredible comment, you know, to have someone to make about you or to make about someone? They say, what do you think about this person? Say, you know, they just love the Lord. Well, because you say that, they just love the Lord, you can just imagine the things that follow after that. I mean, it's an incredible comment to have said about you or to say about someone. And also we just see the theme throughout the Bible where God speaks to people and they respond and they love the Lord, you know. And I just believe that you come here and you sit here, one of the reasons you're here is because you love the Lord. There's things you want to know. And certainly it is a theme throughout the Bible. And the question is, you know, in Christianity and, you know, that we have to ask ourselves, you know, where's our heart? Where's our heart? Who do we love? Where's our heart and who do we love? And so I wanted to just spin off of that about what it says about Solomon and then make that application to ourselves. Just Solomon loved the Lord. Because of that comment, you see that comment about Solomon, that statement about Solomon, and then you hear God's response to Solomon. Isn't that interesting? So now God is going to make a response to Solomon. And he says this, ask me anything. Think about that. Solomon loved the Lord, and God goes, ask me anything. Ask me anything. You think about all the verses in the Gospels. He says, ask anything in my name, I will do it. Nothing is impossible to me. Ask anything in my name. And we're going, gosh, anything? You ask anything in my name, and I will do it. And that's what, it's clear all through the Scriptures. And I'm sure some of us look at that and say, my goodness, I don't know if I'm grasping the whole picture here. And it certainly is not quite working out for me. But it's very clear in Scripture. Very clear in Scripture. And so here you have an Old Testament said to Solomon. Solomon loved the Lord, and God goes, ask me anything. Nothing's changed. Old Testament to new. In fact, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, we have this. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by the night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. Ask. Just ask what I shall give you. I mean, just the whole dynamic of this to me is fascinating. And so here you have this young king who loves God made a request to God. God said, ask me anything. And so this king makes a request to God, and this request is motivated by his love of God and his understanding. And his understanding. And this is what he says in 1 Kings 3, verse 9. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this great people? Now, the picture you see here is Solomon loved the Lord, and he also understood his position, his assignment, and his purpose. He understood where he was and what he was about. He said, Lord, you've made me king of Israel. You've made me king of these people. And so understanding that, when he understood that, then his comment, Lord, I need your wisdom to carry out my assignment and my purpose. But first he had to understand what his assignment was and what his purpose was. And understanding that, that was a request. That was a request to God. So God said, ask me anything. And that's what Solomon asks. So Solomon's love of God and love of God's people formed his request, right? It formed his request. His love of God and love of God's people formed his request. Now, as we observe Solomon's attitude, we should take note about God's response to this request, to his prayer. Okay? Now look at God's response to this. 1 Kings 3:10. It pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this. So this is the diagram. It pleased the Lord. He received this request. He said, pleases me. That pleases me that you ask that. Fascinating. So as we look at that, we need to think about it. What is the avenue to God's heart? What is the avenue to God? What is the avenue to God's abundance? So you see, he loved the Lord, understood his assignment, understood his purpose, and understood his need from God to carry out that purpose, and asked God, all right, this is what I want. I want wisdom to carry out. I want understanding to carry this out. And God is pleased. He's pleased with that. So it helps us when we're praying to understand what God is looking to us. We're no different than Solomon. We're no different than Solomon. We've been placed in situations. We've been placed in a purpose. God is still God. He still does what he wants to in this world. And so he's looking at his people, and he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us to forgive us our sins. He loved us so much, he gave us the Lord Jesus Christ to die in our place. And he just said, love me, love me. That's what he wants to call. Just call out our name. Said, love the Lord. They loved the Lord. Now you look in 1 Kings 3:11, you see God's response to Solomon. 11 and 12. And God said to him, because you have asked this, behold, I will do according to your word. You said it, you got it. And which is consistent with the New Testament and all that says, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Because you have asked this. And again, what did he ask? Because you have asked this. He understood his assignment. He understood his purpose, and he understood why he was put here on this earth. And he says, God, give me wisdom to carry out what you want me to do. Please, Lord, because you have asked this, I will do it. At your word, I was waiting for you to ask. At your word, I'm going to do this. Loving God and finding our purpose in his kingdom moves God to answer our prayers. Loving God and finding our purpose in the kingdom, moves God to answer our prayers. Now, not only with Solomon, not only was this what he did for Solomon, but he will also, not only will he do for Solomon what he asked, he's going to do for Solomon everything he didn't ask. Now, this verse to me, I think, is just fascinating. In 1 Kings 3:13, I give you also what you have not asked. You see, you know what we ask? Most of the stuff he didn't ask. That's what we ask for. We ask for the stuff he didn't ask. But because Solomon asked that, that pleased God, God says to him, I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. I can trust you with everything I got. Everything. And I'm going to give you all of that because you asked the right thing.
To me, this is just so fascinating when we look at this, and you understand it from God's point of view. And again, the Bible writes things that helps us to see things from God's point of view, to see things why we are here, and to see things how we are supposed to function here. That's why we have the scripture. It is the mind of God breathed out on us so that we have understanding that we can operate in this world. We can operate in the kingdom of God as God sees fit. And so you see this picture with Solomon that is absolutely fascinating. And I'm going to repeat it again because I want it to ring in your ears that when you understood here, he understood his assignment. He knew what his assignment was. He understood his purpose. He understood why he was here. And he says, God, to do this, what you have assigned me, I need you to carry it out. Well, that pleased God. I'm going to give it to you. Plus, I'm going to give you all this other stuff. Because I know that's not where your heart is. I'm going to focus and pour out all the other stuff. I'm going to pour out all the other blessings because of where your heart is. Solomon loved the Lord. Now, so we have this picture. You say, well, that was King Solomon and the son of David. One of the greatest kings in Israel. By far, based on the scripture, the richest king in Israel, the most affluent, the most abundant, the wisest king in Israel. So God poured all those things out upon him. All those things. Now let's just flip over and look at a New Testament parallel. New Testament parallel. In Luke 12:31. There's a lot of verses we could look at, but I wanted to flip over to this one. Because of its succinctness, and again, it gives us an idea and a feel of for what God is speaking to us, and so that we can better understand how he's moving within our lives. And his mind, we can understand his mind. Luke chapter 12, verse 31, says this, just pulling this out, instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. So you're having this request. Hey, this is what I want. This is what I think things to work. I do. Just the way I want to move. Instead, seek his kingdom and all the other stuff will be added. It'll come. I'll bring the other stuff. You know, gosh, I'd really like a promotion at my job. He goes, seek my kingdom. Seek my kingdom and I will provide, you know, the promotion you needed. I might provide you another job. I might move you someplace else because I want you to seek my kingdom. And the purpose is to seek my kingdom and be used as a primary agent within my kingdom to do my work. And it may be right where you are. It may be right where you are. But even if it is right where you are, he doesn't want you to focus on right where you are. He wants you to focus on his kingdom. His kingdom. And so you start looking at all the perspective in the sense of his kingdom. And then you start functioning. Okay, God, you have me here. This job. By the way, if you're in the job that's over your head, that's a good place to be. Because what are you going to say? God, give me understanding. Give me understanding. Because you're going to need God. Rather, hey, you know, I'm the smartest one on the block here. Give me money. See, something wrong with that. So, hey, listen, I'm doing more than anybody else. I need more. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong. God says, no, I want to put you, say, holy, good night. This is bigger than me. I have no idea how I'm going to move forward. Lord, give me understanding how to carry this out for your glory. Okay, and I'll give you everything you need also. Amen? I mean, that's how God works. We are always at, what is God doing? And it's pretty clear in the scripture. He's working that way. He's working on a spiritual level. He's working on our hearts. He's working us on us to focus on him. Okay? And that he wants to provide those things. And so that's his promise. But the focus is the heart. The focus is the heart. Now also, it's always a heart issue. It's always a heart issue. I mean, every problem. Now, okay, by the way, guilty on all counts. Guilty on all counts. And I've confessed to you before, I'm a worrier and a complainer. God, why are you doing this? You know. And I've told you before, I've found a common denominator in all my problems.
It's me.
Every problem I have, the common denominator is me. So it's fascinating. It's like, okay, what are you doing with me? What are you doing with me? And the Lord says, I'm trying to move. This is a hard issue, and I want you to serve me. No, I have this world under control. I have your situation under control, and I am moving. I want your heart set upon me. Love me and ask for wisdom to move in this situation, and then me and you are okay. And I'll provide all this other stuff because it's not an issue. Not an issue. Fascinating? That's God's way. In fact, just look at your own situation. Look at your own life. That's what's happening in your life. See, that's the reason I'm not too embarrassed to share you what's happening in mine. Because I know what's going on in yours too. See? Because God is very consistent with his people. This is what he's doing with his people. Because he's got a greater purpose for his people. He's touching his people to bring them to a deeper level with him, to use them in a greater way for him as he sees fit. And he's telling us all the time. He's speaking to us all of the time. Now, here's a verse. And again, there's so many verses that I could have pulled out, but I use this one in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Is that we look at situations, if we understand what God is doing, we can kind of understand the situation around us. Now again, granted, there's evil in the world, there's bad things that happen, and there's a spiritual conflict going on. But in the normal day-to-day stuff, and God teaching us and working through us, these principles apply. And so what he's doing, he's working within our heart to deal with our heart, to reveal things to us that he is working on. I mean, have any of you, and this is rhetorical, you don't have to raise your hands, any of you have gone through and the Lord has shown you something over the years and you really didn't know it was a problem? You didn't know it was a problem. And you go, oh God, that was a problem, wasn't it? Oh, I didn't know that was that big a problem. And so it's lessons that the Lord teaches you, but it goes within your heart, and then he starts transforming you in the sense, in the practical way of it's taking one step at a time, where we have an understanding, because he wants us to have an understanding. He wants us to have an understanding. So he is doing things to transform us. So then we start looking at problems differently. We start looking at them. And then we see, because God is at work, because he wants us in the position. I love the Lord. God, just give me understanding in this situation. You're at work. I know you'll take care of everything else. Well, this is what he does. And he talks to Israelites, and he's bringing them out of Egypt. They're wandering in the desert, wandering around in the desert for 40 years. Deuteronomy 8:2. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord God has led you these 40 years. Now, what's interesting in that, they're wandering in the desert 40 years, wandering in the God, I'm in the desert. This is driving me nuts. What's happening? Just wandering around. And he goes, but it says, you should remember the whole way that the Lord your God led you. Oh, you led me. And you're in this mess with me? You're leading me in this mess? You are leading me in this? See, you will remember that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you. Lord, I'm humble. Just ask me. I'm humble. How humble I need to be? I'm humble. You go, no, I don't think so. Thank you, humble. You know, listen, I'll do anything you want me to do. Now that's not, it's like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Help me. Oh, that one. Humble. See, he led us in the world that he might humble us, testing us to know what was in our heart. Now, what's interesting, do you think God knows what's in our heart? Do you think he knows? He just wants us to know what's in our heart. He knows what's in our heart. See? And so he puts us in these situations. You know, we ever get in a situation, you ever somebody say this, oh, in this situation, they caused me to do this. You remember that? Have you ever done that? Come on, you've done that, haven't you? They caused me to do that. No, they didn't. that happened just to reveal what was in your heart. They didn't cause you to do nothing. You did it by yourself. You did it by yourself. See, if I can say, you caused me, then it's your fault. Poor me. Poor me. You caused me. So now God goes, no, just real revealed in your heart, because that was always there. That was always dormant. And you just need somebody to push that button and jump out and bite them, because it was there. And when you say, oh my goodness, that's in my heart, you take ownership of that. That's in my heart. Oh Lord Jesus, let me trust you. Take that from my heart. Because you have this. You have this in control. You're working. Take this from my heart, Lord. And I need to trust in you to do this. See, it comes back. Do you love the Lord? Do you trust the Lord? Then they didn't cause you to do anything. Okay, God, I see you moving, and you're going to work here. See, because he revealed what was in our heart. And that's what he did for the Israelites in Deuteronomy 8 too. And now that's also all through the scripture. You see the same principle, which means what? God is very consistent. Very consistent. By the way, this is done over and over and over in our lives. In your life, in our lives. The reason I want to say that, because have you ever got to a point, say, I learned this lesson, me and Jesus are doing good, we're sailing, and then something else happens. There's another lesson. But God, I learned that lesson. That's right, you did a good job on that. You don't understand this lesson. You're not where you need to be. Oh, Lord. And you learn that lesson and we're shouting the victory. You've got to be kidding me. And he teaches us this lesson. Why didn't he teach me this lesson way over here? Because when I was way over here, I didn't even know that was an issue. And I had so many issues in between, I couldn't even get to that issue. I had no ability to comprehend it was an issue. So he had to take me through the other issues to learn those to really get to the one that he's trying to teach us. Love me, trust me. What I did or do or sort of did. You know. So this is what God's doing. But the reason I'm saying it is a purpose. God loves us and he's moving within our lives. And that's what he's doing. It's real simple. Oh, God, I love you more than anything in the world. And it's almost kind of like, really? And this happens. God, why? That's not fair. See, it just takes a little twist right there. And it's like, okay, I got it. I got it. I understand. So those are the things he's teaching us, to walk with him in our daily lives. And we depend on him. Did you ever see Jesus fretting? Oh God, what are you doing? He didn't fret. Because he knew what he was doing. When he's at Gethsemane, he's going to the cross. He knew exactly what was happening. He knew. And that's one of the reasons he probably didn't tell us a lot of things too. Because Jesus knew what was going to happen. He goes, oh Lord, this is bad. He goes, if your will, we cannot do this. He says, but your will. See, wouldn't it be terrible if Jesus backed out of the cross? We'd have no way to heaven if Jesus had backed out of the way of the cross. But the ultimate purpose of what God took place, and Jesus could recognize that, even though it's painful. God, you can take me out of this, but not my will, your will. Your will. Fascinating. Now, so we can understand the things that God is teaching us. We can understand how he's moving in our lives. And it's really important. And it's always for our good. And it's always for our authority. And it's always for our power. As we trust him to work supernaturally. You know, we do a prayer. God, I want to see you do mighty things. Amen? God's going to go, okay. We'll start with you. Start with you that you can receive. And let me flow through you. Do you love me? Do you love me? Yeah, I love you, Lord. And then something, you still love me? Do you still? But Lord, that's not fair. Do you love me? But do you love me? Yeah, all right, we can move. You see what I'm saying? And you may not have answers to some of those things. And it's what Solomon, go back to what Solomon said. It says, Solomon loved the Lord. God says, ask me anything. Give me wisdom. oh, because I understand my assignment, I understand my purpose, give me assignment. Oh, it pleased the Lord. Pleased him, and he asked this. He says, all right, I'm going to do what you said, then I'm going to give you all this other stuff. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed today. God is still God, and he still wants to do the supernatural to his people, to his people. Now, we could just put a period there, say hallelujah, love Jesus, we just move on. Amen? That'd just be great to put a period there. In fact, it would be so good just within the scriptures to put a period there. But there's something about Solomon. What I love about the Bible too, this Bible gives you the whole story. It tells you everything. It tells you some of the stuff, it's not like, well, this is what you should do. It just tells you what happened. So you can have enough sense not to do it or understand what goes on. See, Solomon, like many Christians, didn't finish well. He didn't finish well. All these things that I just said in the scripture, and I think it's absolutely true, and I think Solomon's position, absolutely anointed and exalted, there's no question. There's no question. But Solomon did not finish well. He did not finish well. Look at 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 and 4. What happened to Solomon? What happened to Solomon? He lost his first love. That's what happened to Solomon. You can look at anything you want to, but that's the one thing that happened to Solomon. He lost his first love. 1 Kings, verse 1 and 4. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord, his God. Isn't that sad? I mean, that's just sad. In fact, when you're reading through Kings, it's just fascinating, you know, up to this in Kings 11, 1 there. And it's what happened. He didn't finish well. He didn't. God gave him all the other stuff. But then all the other stuff became his love. Not the Lord. Not the Lord. Now, I think, personally, I think Solomon's in heaven. He's forgiven, you know. But it's, no, he did not. He did not finish well. Now, before we're too hard on Solomon, ask a question. What or who do you love? Who or what do you love? See? Because this is the issue here, is Solomon loved the Lord. Kings 3:3. 1 Kings 11:1. Solomon loved many foreign women. Who do you love? Who do you love? That's the question. Now, let me make it a little more convicting. What has squeezed God out of your life? What has squeezed God out of your life? What interferes with your life into such a way that it detracts and squeezes God out of your life? The devotion, where your heart is, where your time is. And by the way, the Lord doesn't want you 24/7 reading your Bible. That's not how he does. That's not what he means. So where is your heart? Where is your heart? So that's the question. What has squeezed God out? And that's what we need to ask. Because those things that start squeezing God out are those things ultimately where we'll put our heart. And then where we put our heart, those things will start dictating our behavior. They'll start dictating our behavior. We'll start working things around to accomplish those things. And we can paint it with godly, especially within the church. I mean, we can really paint it with godly, you know, outside. Oh, the Lord wants this. And me too. You know, I mean, we can paint it with a veneer, a godly veneer. But the question is, it's an individual question, a question of your heart. Who do you love? What is squeezing God out that you don't love him with all your heart, mind, and soul? That's a question we all have to ask. And so we need to continue, because
Solomon started out well. He didn't finish well. And that's the message to all of us. Finish well. Finish well. You're doing great now. That's good. But finish well. And how do you finish well? You love the Lord. Your heart is... Do you make mistakes? Do you blow it? Do you just screw up terribly? We do. But love the Lord, and you just come through that. You'll come through that. You'll come through that. It doesn't say be perfect. It says love the Lord. And as you love the Lord, then we can finish well. You do not love the Lord, you will not finish well. And look at what says the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7 says this. This is at the end of the Apostle Paul's life. And he made this comment. He's in prison, by the way, as he makes this comment. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's his legacy. That's his legacy. And that's the legacy we need to have. Finish well. That means don't make mistakes, but finish well. And look, I just want to pull out some examples. We need to think about is our witness to God. Where are we focused? Not to put, you know, I think it's good to have a healthy fear of God, you know. And we definitely don't want to be judgmental, you know. You don't want to point fingers at anyone because you got, you know, three pointing back at you. Everybody is working through stuff. Everybody is developing stuff. But we want to go in that direction where we finish well. And you have, and it is, how we finish is important. It is important how we finish. And I'm just going to give you some non-Christian examples. And I put a little bit of fear of God in you. How many, you know, you familiar with Richard Nixon? Y'all know Richard Nixon? Okay, Richard Nixon, or the President of the United States. Did you know he was an outstanding politician? Did you know he accomplished unbelievable things, good things for this country? He did incredible work for this country. And when you look at the things he actually accomplished, it's pretty phenomenal if you do the research on it. Compared to anybody, fascinating. When you think of Richard Nixon, what do you think of? Watergate. That's all you think of. He didn't finish well. He didn't finish well, and that's all you think about. You say his name, and you think of Watergate, like that. He was really an excellent president for what he accomplished. He didn't finish well. See, the thing is, don't become to a point, and I think in our life we go through stages where God provides and leads us and trains us and provides and leads us and trains us. So he's always teaching us. He never stops. But he's always taking us, look to him, and as we walk to him, and as the Lord is teaching us, or as the Lord's pouring out his abundance on us or whatever, always keep your eyes on the Lord. Always love the Lord. And again, it's love the Lord. Love him. Well, do these 14 things and you'll get these 6 things. No. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. And the loving of the Lord will make you have you make the decisions that are consistent with that love. And you will finish well. I will finish well. We will finish well. All right? And those things, those failures, when we don't love the Lord and when our heart is pulled over into other areas, that becomes what is remembered. That is what is remembered. The Lord's warning us up front. Now, I'll use Solomon. Now, when I mentioned Solomon, it said, Solomon, love the Lord. Did any of you in here think, wait a minute, I know Solomon. He didn't finish well. As soon as I said Solomon, I think some of you said, he didn't finish well. Why? Because that's what's remembered. Solomon was a great king. He was a great king. God loved him. He loved the Lord. He gave him more wisdom and more wealth than he gave anyone within the scripture. That's who Solomon was. He didn't finish well. So that's what you remember. Do not ever let up. Oh, I got to work hard. Wallace says, don't ever let up. I got to work hard. I'm scared to death. No, don't let up loving the Lord.
Don't let up with your heart loving him. We mess up. We got Jesus. He's nailed on the cross, died for our sins, and in our place. And we just keep going for him. But we're making those decisions for him. And by the way, those that don't finish well, Jesus died for those sins also. Solomon's in heaven. I believe that. I believe the scriptures testifies to that personally, okay? So he's died for all those sins. But what I'm saying, do not let up. Finish well. Finish well. Love this verse because God put us in a place to finish well. Jesus finished well. Okay, he's God's son, but he finished well to our benefit. Love this verse, as y'all well know. And it's not how good you are, it's who you love. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin. Jesus became sin. That we might be the righteousness of God. So all our sin, he became. That we would be the righteousness of God. Amen? He said, I've done it all. Now I'm asking you to do something. Jesus said, I've done this for you. Now I'm asking you to do something. Love me. Another verse, John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Okay, I paid the penalty. I took everything away. All you have to do is believe on me. You are forgiven. All God's people said. Amen. Now I'm asking you something. Love me. That's it. It's all tied in that. It's all tied. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then he makes a statement. All the prophets hang on this. Don't worry about it. They just hang on it. They're just hanging on this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And all the rest just hangs on it. See? Amen. Won't we stand and have our praise team come up forward and we just praise him. But hallelujah, what God has put before us and that we can have an understanding. And again, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Who do you love? I want to say, these are hard sayings, you know, they're really hard sayings. Who do you love? So I love my wife. Your wife's going, yes. Okay. But that's not what he said. I mean, it's good you love your wife, you know. We do less marriage counseling, you know. If you do your love your wife, it's just a lot easier on us, okay? Okay. Are you wise? Oh, I love my husband, you know. But that's not what he's saying. God's saying, love me first, and then you'll love what you're supposed to. You know some people can't love the way they're supposed to? The reason they can't love the way they're supposed to is because they don't love God. And you love God, then you can love the way you're supposed to. So it's God. Oh, I love my kids more than anything in the world. No, that's you wait. You wait, okay? You just wait on that one, all right? You're going to have, Lord Jesus, help me love these darlings. See, you wait. The thing of it, yes, you love, but you love the Lord, and he gives you the capacity to love them in a proper way. If you don't, it's backwards, it's twisted, and it won't work. It just won't. And God is telling us. He's telling us. You want help raising your kids? Love the Lord, and then love your kids. Don't love your kids, and then love the Lord. Won't work. I'm telling you, warn you, okay, 20 years, you can say, well, that's told me. I'm telling you, love the Lord, and he'll give you the ability to love the kids. Give the ability to love the neighbors. Give the ability to respond right in the work situation. Give the ability to do the things you need to do. Love the Lord like Solomon. Then finish well. The thing about Christian life, and a lot of people don't understand this, and a lot of people have complained about it, you know, like that. You don't get there. There's not like, some guys have more problem than the women, all right? Because, okay, I'll do all the things, Lord, say, I get to this point, and I made it, and I can rest. You know, sit on a chair, read a magazine. Something like, no, you never get there. It's a constant growth in loving the Lord, the transformation, and having him first in your life. It's a constant relational growth. It's relational. Ladies, you understand that? See, I was late. I knew. See, oh yeah, you never get there. The relationship never gets there. You're constantly working on that relationship. There's no goal. I have this wonderful relationship with Linda, and I get right here, and I've made it. Done. Doesn't work. Tried that. See, everything with God is relational. It's relational. So we're growing, so God is constantly teaching us. But how? Because he loves us, and we love him back. Amen. Love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, and soul. All the law and the prophets hang on it.